You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
I was running hard, I was running hard.
Force field.
Running hard, running hard.
Force field.
Fell to the ground and I drew blood.
Force field.
But I got back up and I ran and ran.
Force field.
I got a job to do, still away. Put my force field up like an enemy.
Force field.
I won't let you close, I won't break faith.
Force field.
I got my force field and I know the way.
Force field.
Down with the ones that make me cry.
Force field.
Takes me up to the dead of night.
Force field.
Calling on my body, then apologize.
Force field.
I will not forgive it from now until I die.
Force field.
He was doting on my body, but I don't want
love.
Got a job to do, that's number one.
Force field.
So I send him away and I send him off. Put that force field up when I had enough.
Force field.
I cut off friends even though they're old.
Force field.
Had to change tempo, now we're grown.
Force field.
Cars beating over big white roads.
Force field.
Like arteries, they open and close.
Force field.
Ventricle, pump the blood real high.
Force field.
I should be still, my beating heart. Don't let me break face and fall apart.
Force field.
Don't let me break face, oh.
Force field, forces, force, force field, force, yeah, yeah. Force field, forces, force, force field, force, yeah, yeah. Force field, forces, force, force field, force, yeah, yeah.
That is Kōtero with Force Field, and we have got Kōtero, aka Anna Scottney, on the line. Morena, Anna, how are you?
Morena, I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's so awesome to be able to talk to you. Last time we spoke to you was when that track had just been released. And now we've got a whole EP called High Def Multinational to wrap our ears and our minds around. Congratulations, first of all. This is such a magical album. How are you feeling?
Well, firstly, thank you so much, and thank you so much for giving the tracks airtime. That's really cool. I feel good. I feel like it's nice to put out the EP. Because my friend Thomas, who I collaborated on it with, we sort of chipped away at the songs on and off for quite a long time, for a couple of years, actually, because... like I would go away and do an acting project, or Thomas would go away and do like a sound project. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of interesting because kind of the combined studio time was probably quite short, I'd say, like maybe a month or like 6 weeks, but over this like massive period of time. So it feels great to kind of go, wow, all right, this is what we've come to.
Yeah,
I have to be honest, I felt a little bit like embarrassed. I was like, because I think the running time of the whole EP is like 13 minutes or something. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, it's so short. And he was like, don't worry about it, it's okay. And I was like, yeah, okay, no, I think it is. So yeah, I'm feeling like it's cool to have like consolidated, you know, what we were researching for the past couple of years, just trying to find a sound that we both vibed, and that, yeah, that we both kind of liked listening to. So it's good. And thanks again for playing it.
Yeah. Oh, honestly, it's such a pleasure for us. I'm so interested in what you say about that, like feeling a bit maybe embarrassed or stressed about it being short. It's not really something that translates to a listener, though, because your songs pack so much into it. I'm thinking of Puti's Monga, which is like 50 seconds long, but seems to just carry, you know, histories in it. What is some of your, I guess, writing process like? Because I know you've talked about this as a concept album. What is the concept?
Well, for me, like, a lot of the work I make independently in performance or sort of across different creative mediums is around like kind of place and belonging. I know they're nebulous ideas, but I'm just interested in people whose identity is paradoxical. So like to be of one cultural fabric that is totally at odds with another cultural fabric, and to kind of embody that and to have to always be code shifting and code swapping to like move through the contrasting worlds that like that we do, which we do every day, you know. It's like not a big deal, but I think that that's an interesting notion around like nationhood. And when you have like an asymmetric outlook or you have an asymmetric narrative, which I think we do in New Zealand about like what constitutes being a Kiwi or a New Zealander, which is something I have never really, like there are certain hacks about that whole thing, which just have never really like chimed for me, you know, like I feel like solidly like I'm from this whenua, but there are just these different things. So That track, Puti's Monga, I think of it more like a skit. And like, I've been an Icharan Buddhist since I was 16. And like the karakia that we do in Buddhism, the vibration of it is sort of like Nam Myo Ho Renge Kyo, Nam Myo Ho Renge Kyo. So Puti's Monga is, the writing process was super easy, man. Like I just, improvised on the looper because I'd had this epic convo with my friend and collaborator whose name is Puti, and she just shared, I was like, she had just come to the end of like making a trilogy of performance works to share in the Hawke's Bay, and I was like, how do you feel like now that you finished this goddamn trilogy? And she was like, it was like I pulled up a monga and I went back down, and then there were all of these other monga at the bottom of the moana. And I was like, whoa, that's really vibey and magic. And so that was the inspiration for that track. So I don't know, like, I find politics hard to talk about, and identity is such a nebulous and ever-changing thing. So I suppose it's just like kind of sharing some of the research around those ideas.
Absolutely. And I think one thing that stands out maybe on the first listen is the density of this record, because there are so many layers and samples and stories going on here that it takes a lot of listens to be able to unpick some of those threads. But nonetheless, you still get the weight of it at that very, very first listen. There's samples from protests and from the news and all sorts of things in here. How do you go about sourcing those things? Do you just hear something and think that's got something in it, or what is it?
Well, I don't know, like I kind of like watching archival footage. Like I'm a big fan of resources like New Zealand on Screen, and then also finding like old interviews with all kinds of people. Like I'm interested in the influence that the 1980s like as an era had on our current political landscape. So like I'm interested in commentators like Bob Jones and Margaret Thatcher, because I have really different perspectives to them. But and I try and think like, wow, if I can understand more of what's influenced like these ideas around economic incentive and drive. Like, maybe I can understand more about how I can, in my day-to-day life, in a very small way, try and kind of counter that with, like, gentleness or more of a collective approach. But anyhow, so, yeah, like, I just rip from YouTube sometimes, but don't tell, I won't say anyone specific so I don't get sued. Lol. Yeah, but I just rip sounds from, like, heaps of different places. But, yeah, I try not to rip anything from archival footage, like, on platforms like NZ On Screen or places like that, because I think those resources are taonga. Yeah. And, like, they should really be respected and, you know, they're in the hands of families and things that is tapu to. But anyway, yeah, so just the internet, you know, she just finds some tricks on the internet and whizzes it in there, and then, yeah, kind of like keeps it quite rugged sounding, which I quite like, but I know is not to everyone's taste to have music that's kind of left sounding lo-fi, but that's how we made it. Like, yeah, Fuck Forever, the other track that maybe you guys are going to play, I don't know, that's hard out, just like demo recording in the bedroom, where I didn't know how to record it on one microphone. Like, I didn't know how to record it on a mono.
Right.
So I was like, just had two mics set up in my room, and then, yeah, like, we added in the samples, which are pulled from, like, post-match rugby antics, because, yeah, that whole facet of our identity, like, I don't get it and have never vibed with, but I think camaraderie's cool, like, team spirit, and the other patches we added in later, yeah.
Kōtero is kind of an alter ego for you. Do you find the persona of Kōtero helps you navigate some of this dual identity, or sort of trying to come to terms with the idea of what even is identity in a place like Aotearoa? Do you use Kōtero as, like, your vessel for trying to navigate that?
I think I do, because then it becomes, like, less about, like, me specifically, and it more becomes about the idea of a girl, and that's what's important. Like, so definitely, and I find, like, it's cool because Kōtero can be, like, a multifaceted project, but that like all the work kind of comes from the same source to, yeah, be like, to be tangata whenua in the millennial time, and to kind of take, to be really earnest, like, in what that means, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, and to kind of, yeah, have, if I was better at writing essays, like, maybe I just do that or something, but I'm not particularly good at writing sort of formally, so it's just, yeah, Kōtero is a great outlet, I suppose, and to have fun and to kind of, yeah, keep evolving and not get too bogged down by the stresses of the climate the internet, the duplicitous nature of the internet, which, like, that's a rabbit hole I launch down sometimes, and it really brings the vibe down at a party or something, eh, when you're like, yeah, Zuckerberg, Facebook, Twitter, they're all over us, man. It's just like, shush, Anna, I just want to make my stories right now. And I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. So I don't know, like, I think it's just good to have little outlets. Do you have outlets? Do you have, like, a garden or something?
Oh, totally. Cool. Gardening's been the big one for getting through 2020, I reckon. It's you just got to find these ways, these kind of creative forms that help you be a little bit outside yourself, eh?
For sure. That's so cool that you garden. And hey, I want to say, you're like really generous with, like, what questions you ask and how you ask questions.
That's
so
really
nice. Appreciate that.
Cheers,
okay.
Anna. Hey, I have got one more question for you, which is a little bit about your one of your other hats you wear. It's your acting hat.
That's the main one.
Yeah,
primary hat.
Your big hat. That's going to be quite exciting very soon, because you're playing Mata in the upcoming adaptation of Patricia Grace's Cousins, which is, from all accounts, going to be a pretty important film for our cultural history here in New Zealand. What was it like for you playing this role?
Exactly. Just for a little bit of context, like, it's my understanding that Cousins, well, it was written by Patricia Grace, who's, like, one of our, obviously, like, most beautiful Indigenous writers here, and then it was going to be adapted by Meretamita, and then that didn't come to pass, and then so yeah, it's been adapted by Briar Grace Smith and Ainsley Gardner, and I think that it's the first feature film that's been co-directed aside from Waru. Pretty sure it's one of the only feature films that's been directed by Indigenous women here in Aotearoa since the amazing pioneer Meretamita. And so firstly, it feels pretty fucking cool, just like from that point of view, to have been involved. And I'm excited to see it. I haven't seen it yet. And the team are doing this radical thing where they're touring the film to the different marae and papakainga, the different home places of the cast. So I'm my hapu, my sub-tribe, gonna watch it next week before I go overseas to shoot a comedy, actually, for the next 6 months. So yeah, be backburning, maybe making some music. But the front burners is to acting, is being a thespian.
Nice.
Yeah, so I want to make cooler, you know, but it's what do you do for your job? I'm a thespian. I'm like, nah, we need to find a way of like, I'm like, yeah.
When someone says a thespian, you need like a cool hat or like a,
I was going to say, turtleneck. I feel like I need like a turtleneck and a, and a beret.
Totally. Well, yeah. I'm so looking forward to watching Cousins. I'm reading the book at the moment in prep for it.
Oh, cool.
And listening to your album a lot. High Def Multinational. Thank you so much for chatting to us, Anna. It's always a pleasure. We're going to listen to Fuck Forever now.
Thank you for having me.
And good luck with all your adventures in Australia. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, good luck with your garden and good luck with 2021.
Thanks.
And I'll speak again next time.
Heart out. All right, ka kite.
All right, ka kite.
Take the time, fuck forever, dream of you.
That is Fuck Forever by Kōtero. Thank you so much to Anna Scottney for chatting to us this morning. Always such a pleasure to Kōtero about what she's been working on. If you haven't listened to it yet, you need to go and do it. Kōtero.bandcamp.com is the place to go for high def multinational. You can also find some Mean As written interviews with Anna up on Queenie Control website, which is Coco Solid's sort of awesome kickoff platform, or on Sonorous Circle as well, which is Thomas Arbor's sort of home base down in Wellington. Thomas Arbor, who co-produced this with Anna as well. So thank you again to Anna. We're going to be back after the break with some more tunes for you and plenty more good things coming up on 95BFM Breakfast. If you'd like to send us a message, tuku pātui mai, rima toru iwa rima, o wai mai nei, 309 3879.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.